Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about the Battle of Los Angeles. I am your host, and my name is Toby.
Is it Toby?
I've started to forget what I was going to say. Jeez, this is a sign of a good episode.
Off to a good start, buddy.
Everyone introduce yourselves around the room.
Hi, I'm Tiffany.
I'm Rudy.
Kristen.
And we are recording out of order. So, because the peek behind the curtain, we said that you recorded with us for your first time in the last one, and that one's going to play. So,
oh no, it's going to be,
people are going to be confused at what I'm talking about, but you'll know by the next episode. So don't worry
about
it.
You'll catch up. Don't worry
about
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm the mystery guest.
Yeah, yeah.
If they haven't figured it out by now, we tend to do things odd.
You know what? I can go ahead and give a warning. We have new equipment. This is our third run with the new equipment, even though you'll see 3-1-2 attempts. You'll see the third one first, the first one second, and the, I don't know. Anyways,
wow.
The next episode, we use a cheap Radio Shack microphone, and I regret it because it sounds like I'm on a telephone the whole time. So
it sounds like you're about 5 feet away from your mic trying to talk to everyone.
Yeah. So
technical difficulties.
That's in the next episode. Hopefully, I don't sound like crap right now. I'm still working on learning the equipment, so give us a break for the next 35 episodes. Anyway, so today's topic, we are going to be talking about the Battle of Los Angeles.
Great movie. I can't wait. I watched the shit out of this movie to get ready for this podcast.
Okay. So, first off, have you seen that movie?
Yes.
I have never seen it at all. Is it any good? We're talking about the 2011 movie. So how is that movie?
I thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was a good movie.
What's it about?
LA gets attacked by aliens, basically.
Okay. Is it set? It's set in a current
modern day. Okay. Yeah.
So that's a good start. If you know that movie about what the real Battle of Los Angeles, which I'm assuming they kind of loosely based it. Well, obviously, very loosely.
The movie's actually based on a graphic novel, so it's going to have nothing to do with what we're going to talk about.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about happened between February 24th to the early morning of February 25th, 1942, in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. So, this is not the 2011 future documentary.
Darn. That's how I did all my research, as I watched the movie.
So, what exactly happened? On February 24th, 1942, the air raid sirens started sounding all throughout Las Vegas. The entire
hold up. Los Angeles.
God damn it. You know what? I was worried that I was going to say Los Angeles, and I said Las fucking Vegas. God damn it. Bullshit. I was so, trying to make sure I didn't fuck up Angeles.
Hashtag Las Vegas.
So when Las Vegas was, no, so Los Angeles, the entire city was supposed to go into a total blackout if the sirens were sounding.
Right.
Thousands of air raid wardens were called to their positions around 3:16 a.m. The 37th Coast Artillery Brigade began firing 50 caliber machine guns and 12.8 pound anti-aircraft shells at an aircraft. They continued to fire until 4:14 a.m., almost firing for a full
hour. Yeah.
So over 1,400 shells were fired. At 7:21 a.m., the all clear was sounded and the blackout was lifted. During the shooting, several buildings and vehicles were damaged. It actually killed several people.
Six people.
Okay, see, that's where I saw some accounts saying only five, and some saying six.
And it was weird because some of them were caused by traffic accidents because they were confused and they were like not paying attention and they ended up wrecking.
Yeah.
What year did this take place?
42. So, like I said, the number of the civilians that died or reported died, it was either five or it was six. I couldn't find a clear answer. This, again, is, what, 70 years old?
Right.
You know, I feel like when time goes on, especially in a time that wasn't like it is now where we record everything. Everything's written down. Sure. Everything's on a timeline on fucking Facebook.
Right. So at least the number's kind of consistent. It's either five or six.
Yeah.
It hasn't exaggerated or gone down any over the years. So.
Three supposedly were killed in car accidents of some sort, like Rudy was saying, and two had heart attacks. And I don't think it was like, oh, loud noise that startled me. I think it was, you know, the stress of 1,000+ shells being shot for an hour. Like, holy shit, this is war. We're dead.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
Plus, you have to think Pearl Harbor happened 3 months earlier.
Right.
In December. You know, so
yes, we are. This is happening during World War II. Then during the peak of us getting into World War II,
we had just entered the war. Everyone's nerves were shot because they were afraid Japan was going to hit the West Coast.
And we'll get more on that in just a minute.
I know we're going to go with it too.
No sound effect. Everyone noticed. No, he stuffed himself.
I did. No jumping the shark sound effect. Sorry, guys.
So. This incident ended up making the front page of a bunch of papers and even got media coverage throughout the entire country, which is big back in the 40s.
Of course.
Yeah, you can find old, like, CBS clips and stuff of them talking about it.
We're going to listen to an audio clip of a news report.
Which station?
We're going to listen to an audio clip. I forgot who it is. It'll probably say it. Let's check it out.
The News of the World, Wednesday, February 25th. Once again, Columbia's correspondents in world capitals and in the fighting zones in the Western Pacific are ready to give you the latest news direct by shortwave radio. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to Los Angeles and the report of Byron Palmer. Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning. The anti-aircraft guns began barking during a blackout ordered by the 4th Interceptor Command at 2:25 a.m. The unidentified object, which some sources thought might be a blimp, moved slowly down the Pacific coast from Santa Monica and disappeared south of Long Beach. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp. However, it required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles. Far slower than an airplane. Watchers on the rooftop of the Columbia Broadcasting Building in the heart of Hollywood could plainly see the flashes of guns and searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc along the coastal area. Concussion of the shells could be felt in downtown Los Angeles, 15 miles away. U.S. Army planes quickly took to the dark skies, but whether they contacted the object has not been announced. Army officials say they will not comment until they receive a full report of the action. Although some watchers say they saw airplanes in the air, semi-official sources say they probably were the U.S. Army's pursuit. Several observers say they saw one or more planes spotlighted by 20 or 30 searchlights. The object moved southward, presumably over Huntington Park at the western edge of Los Angeles, and on southward to about Long Beach on the coast. By 3:30 a.m., observers said the object appeared to be over the south of Long Beach. Searchlights closely followed the object down the coast and kept it centered in their glare. Shells frequently could be seen bursting near the object, but none appeared to hit it. The shooting stopped about 3:30 a.m. The shooting brought warfare to the front door of this city of 1.25 million population for the first time since December 7th. Already, it was alert to the presence off the Southern California coast of a Japanese submarine which had pumped 25 shells into an oil field north of Santa Barbara Monday evening. Because of the presence of the submarine, a three-hour alert was ordered at dusk last night, and civilian authorities stood at their posts while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. The evening alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another was sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. At 2:27, all Southern California radio stations were ordered off the air, except those in San Diego. Approximately 20 minutes after the firing died down, the ship returned and headed westward from Long Beach toward Santa Monica. The guns went into action again, hurling round after round of shells at the object. The second barrage appeared to be closer to downtown Los Angeles, since watchers could hear the concussion of the guns more clearly and the flash of bursting shells was brighter. Then the ship disappeared for the second time over the ocean. We return you now to CBS in New York.
That was the original recording, or original broadcast, and I don't know if I could have listened to the news back in the 40s, how he talks like this.
And he actually did say Los Angeles.
Yeah, he did say that, Los Angeles.
But he did.
That was, after I heard it, I was like, what?
But he didn't say Las Vegas.
He did not say Las Vegas, damn it.
That's right.
Okay, so he brought up something that we haven't gotten to yet. So the day before, on February 23rd, 1942, the day before the Battle of Los Angeles incident, the Elwood oil field near Santa Barbara was shelled by a Japanese submarine, the I-17. This is only about 2 hours up the road, so still pretty close. So people in that area are already
on edge.
Yeah. So the attack actually only did very minimal damage, though. It, like I said, it still helped put the fear in everyone.
Well, yeah.
I didn't read of anyone getting killed in that one either.
No, I couldn't find anything about anyone getting killed. I'm pretty sure. Well,
they were just taking out an oil field,
right? And I feel like it was at night is kind of what it sounded like, so no one was there for sure.
Right, like duskish, maybe. Yeah.
It's wartime.
Yeah, because they shelled it and then basically took off.
Yeah.
And they were headed south. So everyone along the West Coast was on high alert the rest of the night.
So the Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, held a press conference just a few hours after the firing had stopped. He ended up saying the entire thing was a false alarm due to the anxiety and war nerves. Again, he's just, the Navy man is saying, we were just trigger happy. The next day, General George C. Marshall of the Army said that he believed the incident was caused by a commercial airplane and used as psychological warfare to generate panic.
By whom?
Interesting.
Japanese. Mm. So, but that comes into play in a little while, because there is a small conspiracy to this. Uh-huh. Very small.
Now, and also, something I did learn was that there were, that same night, around that same time, at least 32 to 36 different sightings of aircraft that they couldn't, everyone was seeing zeros. Everyone was seeing Japanese fighter planes or bombers.
Yeah.
All along the West Coast that night.
See, and I saw something similar to where they were seeing a ton of aircraft in the sky.
And that was in one of their declassified memos that they had that they did recently.
Right. A lot of the news sources were already starting to speculate that this was some type of cover-up for something. They just didn't know what.
Oh, good old conspiracy theories.
Even in the 40s.
Even in the 40s, we weren't trusting the government.
It wasn't until 1983, and this is more than 40 years later, that the military eventually said, I guess it was a weather balloon. The right. Old weather balloon trick.
Oh, that weather balloon. He gets around, Roswell, now, Los Angeles.
So
he was even in Aurora.
Oh, yeah. So my only question, though, is it took 40 plus years for them to be like, yeah, no, weather balloon.
Right.
Why so long for you to come out with the official statement of weather balloon? That just seems weird to me. Not that I'm calling.
You're right. Why would they bother to classify a weather balloon?
Well, if why not just keep it as, hey, it was our nerves. We were
yeah.
We were scared. We just got bombed yesterday. Well, shot at yesterday.
Because people needed to be able to trust their government. That's why.
I would have believed a Zeppelin because eyewitness testimonies were saying it had a more Zeppelin type shape to mm-hmm. it. A Zeppelin, you know, just kind of floated in from somewhere. Right. I would believe that over a balloon.
But why even, you know, if you close it and you're like, in the 40s, you say, oh, it was just our nerves. Why even bring it up again? I wonder what made them need...
I wonder if somebody did an inquiry.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, why would you even bring it up? Like, why would you even make yourself look suspicious?
Right.
Especially, I don't know, especially with the Roswell stuff, why would you even throw the weather balloon thing out there? Because people are just like, really? Come on now.
Especially after an official gets on, you know, talks to reporters like the, you know, the very next day and goes, man, we don't know what it is. It's some kind of unknown craft.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're like, a week later, it's like, no, that guy was wrong. He's an idiot.
Yeah, so, no, I would agree that it would have to be under some kind of pressure from somebody else to release the right. report, because what is the point yeah. otherwise?
So, of course, with all this being said, you know, all the UFOologists, they believe that it was something extraterrestrial that we were shooting at.
Right.
So, which, I mean, if you didn't know... Of course they did.
It's kind of the big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the UFO claims a number of eyewitnesses reported seeing a large object in the sky over Culver City in Santa Monica. So, making its way... I should have wrote down where all these cities are, because I don't know the geography of it. But right. I would assume, like, it's coming in...
Basically, from what I saw, it came from northern LA all the way down the coastline for several miles before it eventually disappeared, whatever this object was.
It, something I saw, it said that it slowly drifted toward Long Beach right. and then vanished from the view. Most reports described it as a pale orange glowing object and that it was shaped like a pumpkin. So I guess, I mean, still like that, I guess... blimp kind of
yeah
shape, you know,
cigar shape.
Yeah, cigar shape, which is the popular.
I don't know. There's a lot of difference to me between pumpkin and what I imagine blimps look like. Not that I've seen all that many in real life, but
right.
Yeah, you know, the ones I've seen on TV. A lot of difference between a blimp and a pumpkin.
Tell you what, you see a blimp in real life when you first start seeing it, you're like, what the. And then once it starts getting closer, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it'll trip you out. It'll trip you out if you're not expecting a blimp. If you get a surprise blimp, it's always fun.
Well, we have that cat in the background, so let's go, let's take a small break. And when we come back, we will, I'll read a couple of quotes from eyewitnesses.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Hey there, everybody, this is Goobs.
And I'm Ripkin.
And we are the Rossel Nerds.
And we hope you are enjoying this episode of the Secret Transmission Podcast.
Because I know we are, folks.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Rossel Nerds.
And watch us on YouTube, because we talk all things wrestling and all things nerdy.
Take care.
Hello, everyone. My name is Miles, better known as Mr. Most Days Off.
And I'm Richie the Whiz Kid.
And we're the host of the Best Darn Diddly Review Show, available at thefanspodcast.com.
Each and every week, we review two classic Simpsons episodes from way back in the 90s.
Follow us on Twitter at Best Darn Diddly, and go check out our show at thefanspodcast.com.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub.
Nah, man, that's the wrong show.
God damn it, Kyle.
That's both not my name and the wrong show.
Dope!
There it is. Remember, everyone, it's the Best Darn Diddly Review Show, available at thefanspodcast.com and iTunes and Stitcher.
Woohoo!
Hey, everyone. You guys should listen to the Podians of the Galaxy podcast. We're a podcast that involves movies, gaming, and pop culture. So give us a listen and wait, what the hell?
Get away, brother.
Oh, God!
It's like you suck at your job, brother. Yeah. Listen here. I got the Macho Man right here.
Let the Mega Powers show you how a promo's done.
That's right, little dudes. If you get your vitamins and all that and your minerals and all kinds of other crap that you do, you can listen to us at the Podian Podcast, a.k.a. the Podians of the Galaxy. Check us out, brother.
Movies, video games, other things.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio. We also have a sister show, Splurch, where we dive into the world of comics and all the crazy aspects of life. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, our YouTube channel, visit our site, Parlapod.com, and consider supporting our Patreon for some really cool rewards and exclusive content. Check us out on PodcastRadioNetwork.net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join the conversation on Twitter by following at Parlapod. We'll see you in the swamps. In the swamps. In the swamps.
Project Archivist, the podcast that talks about the weird, the wonderful, and the strange. Join us every week as your hosts Rogan and Lobo take a different look at the world around us through guest interviews, discussion, or taking a look at the week's weirdest news. Find us at www.projectarchivist.com, on iTunes in the podcast section, or on the Stitcher Android app.
And we are back, and now I'm going to read, attempt to read.
Testimonials?
Yes.
Yes.
You know what? But everything I found, it was like a woman, a man. It never said Bill, Susan. It never said any, like, specifics. So
oh, really? Oh, okay.
These could be completely fake, and I apologize if they are, but we're going to read them anyway. A woman air raid warden eyewitness reported about the UFO. The object was huge. It was really enormous. It was particularly hovering right over my house. I had never seen anything like it in my life. It was just hovering there in the sky. It hardly moved at all. It looked like a lovely pale orange and about the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. I could see it very good because it was really close. It was enormous.
And this, she could see it while all this gunfire was going on?
Well, I think this is before the gunfire.
Oh,
I don't think
okay.
I'd be out there watching no goddamn fire show, that's for sure.
No shit. As soon as that...
You know why their names probably aren't in here is because back then it was such a tiny, like, close-knitted community that they probably didn't want to put their names up there because everybody be
Susan
like...
Susan Smith reports.
And they'll be like, Susan Smith is a fucking psycho. Don't go near her.
Well,
house.
If she's an air raid warden, too, I mean...
Yeah, probably
she
back
get,
then
she
there's not
probably,
very many women. They probably narrow
she
it down.
She could probably get in trouble.
Yeah.
For...
That's true.
For quoting on it if she's an air raid warden, so...
Maybe their families were in danger if they said anything like that.
So, another witness of the UFO said... I will never forget the magnificent sight it was. Just gorgeous. And what a beautiful color.
That's where we're getting all the pumpkin reports, is because it was orange.
I think everyone was just high, and they were like, yeah, man. Pumpkin.
Project Bluebeam.
My aunt did say they smoked a lot of grapevine back then.
Holographic projector.
Yeah, I hate saying it, but we have to do an episode in the future on
that.
Add to the list.
Sorry to that listener. it's on the list though. Project Bluebeam.
Yep.
So a year before the Battle of Los Angeles in 1941, this is a different tale. We're not talking about Battle of Los Angeles right now. Reverend William Huffman was called out to the woods in Cape Garuda, Missouri?
Cape Garuda.
Is that what it is? I'm glad you knew what I was trying to say. That's what I said, I mean. It's Missouri. Anyways, so he went out to the woods to pray for victims of a crash. When he got to the site, he had to get through a swarm of government officials, only to find that the craft wasn't like anything he'd ever seen before. The craft that he came upon was disc-shaped, and when I guess he got a glimpse of inside, and he could see like the hieroglyphics. You know, it was nothing he could understand, and the people that he was giving, like, I guess the last rites to, they had oddly shaped bodies, huge eyes, tiny mouths, and holes in the side of their head, so the ears were either inside or that was their ear. He only came clean about the story because he was on his deathbed. He told his wife about it, so she knew nothing about this.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he's on his deathbed. Why would he make up something like this? But at the same time, the wife could be lying about this little story, and she could have made it up. But then again, why would the wife lie about this story?
I feel like we're talking about the Greatest Generation here, too. So, I feel like their accounts are a little bit more... I feel like they hold water just a little bit more because, you know...
My only thing is, if somebody comes down, if I see that, and I'm out there in the middle of a field, and I've never seen that before, I feel like I'm going to be more scared. Like, how in the hell did he see these holes in the side of the head? Like, he had to be...
He had to be really examining shit.
Yeah, and, like, really close to him. And how many people do you know that if they encounter that, they'd be like, oh, wait, let me get a closer look at this. Most people will be like,
let me see inside his craft.
I'm running for the fucking hills.
Well, I bring that up just because... Supposedly, this incident happened a year before this incident. Okay?
And he was giving last rites to these creatures.
Right.
Well, in order to give last rites, you have to be within reaching distance.
And that's kind of the same thing that happened with the Aurora, Texas UFO incident. Which, if you haven't, go back and listen to our episode 12. And I'm sure we'll be going to the festival this year, and we'll be reporting again on it. So, anyways.
I'm going to get my free alien water.
Just don't drink it. It's full of aluminum.
Yeah. But that's what they did there, too, is someone came and gave them last rites, and they buried them. And that's, for anyone who wants just a recap of what the Aurora thing is, it happened in, like, 1894,
Late 1800s.
Yeah. And a craft crashed through a windmill, and they buried it in the cemetery in Aurora. And no one can dig it up because what's the Texas law, Kristen?
The Texas law is that if you're, unless they have a next of kin to authorize you to be exhumed, they cannot exhume the body, and there was no next of kin to be found, so therefore they can't exhume it.
Well, we haven't met E.T.'s next of kin.
So you're saying they buried the creatures, not the craft itself?
They threw the craft in the well.
In the well.
Ah.
Supposedly.
And they bury the creature, which is named Ned.
Again, I feel like you're talking about people also who have not had much exposure to the media. So how did they?
But if you listen to that episode, we do go back, and it's kind of hard to tell.
They
really throw a wrench in it because whenever you're on the ride, they say, "Well, this all happened during the time when the railroad was supposed to be coming through, and it really killed our town, and then this happened." So you really kind of become conflicted on. Well, did it happen, or was this some bogus story they made up?
Were they all drinking moonshine?
To bring, like, fame to their town.
Now, the guy whose windmill supposedly got hit, if I remember correctly, he was also a bit of a storyteller. He
was right.
What was his name?
He was a bit of a shyster.
He was a judge.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll touch on it. Go listen to that episode.
But I mean, even with the tonight's topic, in 42, all they had was radio. So you're talking about a large group of people who all identified the very same thing that they could not have seen on TV or seen anything like it on TV. So how would they have come up with this description just out of their pure imagination?
That's a really, really good point.
Town hall meeting, that's how they did it. They were like, everybody, on this day and time, we're going to say that we saw something. The railroad didn't come through, and we really need this for our town.
So. No, I'm referring to the Battle of Los Angeles. They
probably
still
could have been that, too.
So, as of right now, and these are our United States sightings. There's been some other major sightings sprinkled throughout the years from 1890s to 1942 when this happened. But, like, we had the Aurora one, we had this one in Missouri, then we had the Battle of Los Angeles in 42. 5 years later is when we had our Roswell, Mexico, New Mexico incident.
Uh-huh.
So, and that was a supposedly a weather balloon that was a crashed craft of some sort. So far, we have a crash into a windmill, uh-huh. And this is just the United States. Crash into a windmill. A crash reported in the Missouri woods. We don't know why either two of these two have crashed. This third one,
a desert.
We shoot at it for over 1,000 or over 1,400 rounds
for about an hour.
For an hour, and the fourth, which is going to be this Roswell, it crashed. Did we shoot it down?
No, Roswell crashed.
Well, I think one thing that you can definitely deduce from all of this is that whatever planet these creatures came from, they don't have driver's ed.
They're pretty good at picking elements. Earth, wind, fire, water.
But, I don't know, I find that kind of weird, like, and there's large gaps of when they visited. This is kind of pouring into my theory for later, but I'll go ahead and talk about it now.
Like, generation gaps?
Yeah, like, okay, 1890 was the Aurora. We didn't have anything till 41. Both of those were accidental crashes. But then the next year, in 42, that's when the Battle of Los Angeles happened, when we shot up 1,400 rounds. They don't come back for 5 years to the United States.
I wouldn't either if you shot 1,400 rounds at me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if there's... If we're saying this is... All these sightings are real. All these UFOs are real.
What about the mass sighting over D.C. that happened in the 40s? Or it was either the 40s or 50s.
I missed that one. Well, I mean, I'm talking from that time period. You know, it took 5 years before we had... And I'm sure there's other sightings sprinkled in, but we didn't have a major crash or something.
Oh, okay, I got like a major event.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, these are all the major ones that have happened in the United States. And again, they've happened in other places around the world. But I just feel like... They didn't want to come mess with the United States for 5 years, you know?
Right.
So anyways, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. So some of the other theories. Some people believe that the Japanese were launching planes from a secret base in Mexico.
Okay.
So these are, you know, with like you said earlier, remember there was reports of planes? So, I mean... That kind of fits the story.
Yeah, but nothing got bombed or hit. I mean, what's the point of having a secret base in Mexico if you're not going to use it?
To just strike fear. We just got shot at. We just got Pearl Harbor. 3 months later, we got shot at our oil. Who knows?
They're pretty much taunting, going, look, this is how close we can get.
Yeah, we can get this close if we want to. I mean, if we're just, this is we just have. Theorizing. Yeah. I'm just theorizing. I'm not saying one way or another. Right.
I could just pick holes in that one, because if it were me, from a strategic point of view, I would be using that base to my advantage all the freaking time. Yeah. I'd be bombing the shit out of places everywhere.
So another theory is that the Japanese had developed a submarine that was capable of carrying planes.
Ooh.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, just theory-wise.
I do know the Japanese did come... out a few months after the Battle of Los Angeles and go, we had nothing to do with that.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that kills those theories.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, what are they going to say? Sorry, guys. We were feeling particularly... We were feeling, you know...
Well, they owned the bombing. Shit out, they owned the shit out of Pearl Harbor, so,
we
you know.
Were feeling kind of trigger happy that day, and so we rode all the way over there and then decided not to.
So, here is the...
Ooh.
Microphone problems over there, Kristen? That's all Kristen's fault if you heard that...
I didn't buy these shitty microphones.
Get your face out of it. There you go.
It just slid right off the thing. I'm trying to itch my arm. I can't even move over here.
So, the conspiracy that I was saving from earlier.
Uh-huh.
The conspiracy is that some people believe that this was staged by us.
Which, yeah, I could see that happening.
Wait till you hear the reason.
Let's hear it.
To convince the defense companies that they needed to locate more inland instead of on the coast.
Oh.
That's a pretty good solid, you know, theory.
Yeah.
You don't want, which...
We are our own worst enemy.
I mean, we already...
I hate to say that, but
what are we staging with? It's 1942. We aren't very technologically advanced at that point. So
yeah, that you don't know of.
But you don't have to. If you've ever seen this, we haven't even talked about the picture. And
right.
If the picture of this thing, if you look up Battle of Los Angeles 1942, you're going to see this really... like these big spotlights that cross beams like this, and there's a lot of other little spotlights, and there's like white bursts, like where like the anti-aircraft
like tracer rounds and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it's a real famous, and people say that you can see the UFO inside the crossing beams, and a lot of people will like invert the picture to. Show like when you invert the picture, you can kind of see an outline of something that looks kind of cigar shaped, more or less, or disc shaped. So, I mean, that could be a shadow. And I mean, who's to say that they didn't come up with this theory, you know, come up with this little conspiracy and just say, point the lights, there's something in the sky, start shooting at it, just to, again, scare people. They did it for an hour. People died from heart attacks from the stress, you know?
And it was just the little aliens from Aqua Teen Hunger Force going, look, America, we are giving you the finger.
Flip him the finger.
Flip him the finger to America.
But no, like, I mean, it could have just been something like to scare ourselves, to scare these defense companies to convince them, hey, it's not so, right there, you're in danger. I don't know what the main motivation is to move them more inland, but, you know, people have their reasons for anything that they do, that maybe it's going to help put money in someone's pocket or something, but
right.
Who knows? It's just a theory out there. Just thought I'd bring it up. Y'all don't seem like y'all like that one very much. Fuck y'all.
Well, I'm trying to process it, but...
I'm doing the same thing. I mean, people were paranoid, so I can see bringing the ship's inland, because if you can see it, then you feel protected by it.
Yeah.
If you can see that it's there, you know, if you tell me something's off out in the ocean that I can't see, then all I have to do is take your word for the fact that it's there. So the presence of those ships closer to shore where people could see them and feel like, hey, just in case somebody does come and attack us, there's my saving grace, right there,
right.
Where I can see it. So there would be a point to that.
So did a submarine really attack that oil refinery the night before?
Ah, that could be... Well, the I-17? I-70?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think you said I-17.
I could look at it. I'm too lazy. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, it's not like, you know, the U.S. government hasn't taken, you know, German U-boats and flipped them and you know, infiltrated that way, too.
Yeah.
I mean...
But I thought we've had confirmation that they celebrated... Oh, maybe I watched a video where they actually interviewed a Japanese man that was on the submarine, and he was bragging about it, and he even was like, said something along the lines of, "We didn't do much damage, but we felt like we had a huge victory over the United States that we infiltrated their area." What am I trying to say?
Like waters?
Yeah, and their waters without them being detected. So they acted like it was a big victory, but I mean, I guess that could be part of the cover up.
Say you beat me to it. I was gonna say, I can get somebody to say something too if I wanted.
If you got enough money in your
pocket. Right. Right.
So how do y'all feel on this one? Like where do you lean, like, on the do you feel like we were shooting at nothing? Do you feel like we were shooting at a weather balloon? Do you feel like we were shooting at something that may have been I hate saying, I guess, otherworldly, like your typical UFO alien type thing. What does everyone think? Let's go around the room.
I mean, as somebody who never really spends any time thinking about the possibility of aliens, it is hard to refute so many stories that so closely match. You know, I mean, that's just what it all comes down to for me. If you ask me, do I believe in aliens? I kind of can't answer that for you. It's one of those things where it's like I'm reserving comment until I someday have some proof. So, but it is. It's a lot of very, very similar stories that are hard to argue with, if you ask me.
See, when you brought up that a minute ago, like, I didn't even think about that. Everyone's got the same, like, oh, it's orange, and they're talking about a pale orange color,
and they didn't see it on TV, and back in 1942 they were all on party lines telephone wise so it's not like you could even call somebody else and say, this is what we're saying it looks like,
right?
So, you know, and there's literally almost no way for these people who they interviewed, I mean, surely it wasn't just one pack of people, they went one by one.
And a lot of people, when the shooting started, got curious to see what was going on, and a lot of people saw something.
And they were far flung.
Well, see, and here's the other thing, I think they went into a full media blackout too, like they cut radio stations even. So, like, no one, it's not like that people were, like, on listening to the radio, like, what's going on? Let's listen to the radio. I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Well, it was a full blackout, like, power-wise, too, because they didn't want distinguishable targets.
Right, yeah, that's...
So they just completely cut everything out.
I guess I should have touched on what the blackout was for. I never touched on that. But that, right. During World War II, when an air raid would go off, you turned off all the lights in the house, you turned off everything, that way, like Rudy said, nothing is, you can't see, if you're up in the air, you can't see lights on in an office building or something like that, right. So.
Well, they probably turned it off too, because maybe our technology was better than what we think it was, and they could almost like hack and, like, you know, if they were transmitting any signals or anything like that to like prove, like, their tactics were.
Did they have, like, heat seekers and stuff back then?
Well, their targeting system was visual in the bombers. They had to have a guy look down like a telescope at the ground to see what they were shooting at, and if it was completely dark,
you couldn't. There was nothing. There was no target.
There was no target, right. So, you know, if you're going to go based off light patterns, then that's why they ordered it was like standard operating procedure that if there was anything in the sky, kill the lights, period. You were on blackout.
Didn't work so well anymore.
No. No. We have all kinds of funky shit nowadays.
You're going to have that one teenage girl that's like, I'm not turning off my phone. And they can see that light off the phone.
That would be like, no, I'm not turning off my phone.
They're taking their selfies, and in the background, there's a cruise missile headed their way.
Yeah.
So what I call it, guys. Selfie.
Hashtag cruise missiles.
So what do you think, Rudy?
As much as I would love for it to be anything extraterrestrial, I'm going to almost go with the scare angle. I think they were just blindly shooting into the sky.
Right.
At nothing. You know, you converge enough lights into a point, you're going to confuse the eye a little bit, especially if there's a lot of shells, with the there's burst, a lot of smoke, there's a lot of bursts.
Creating shadows. Right. And, yeah.
Yeah, things are, you know, for an hour, and if that goes on and you're just slowly moving the shit over to, you know, from north to south.
And if you stare long enough at one spot, then you're going to create something. Your mind,
yeah, you're going to see something.
Create something.
Just like we've said in our sleep paralysis video. Or video. God dang it. What audio episode.
Right.
There we go.
Who are we?
Yeah. Well, like, your eye does try to make shapes that it recognizes.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's trying to make some kind of craft. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean, you have all these people going, what are they shooting at? It's like, well, I see something over here. Oh, I see something over here. You know, you're going to have...
You're going to want them to shoot at something.
Yeah,
you're like, you're wasting all that ammo.
Yeah.
God dang.
My tax money
paid for that.
And then you're curious. You're like, you're already on edge. You're like, oh, what are they shooting at? Because you have the people looking up at it. And that picture that you mentioned earlier, they've already proven it was enhanced slightly.
Oh, really?
For, I guess, the paper did it for dramatic purposes. The negative that they have at UCLA is a copy. They don't know what the original looks like. They have no idea where the original is. Yeah.
Well, of course they don't.
You could have stopped me earlier and told me that because I didn't know that.
He didn't want his favorite sound going off.
Right. I didn't want the jump in the shark. So, yeah, it was like 2007. Some group did a study and they wanted to look at that picture. They wanted to analyze the picture.
Right.
And whenever they did get the picture from UCLA, the negative for it, it turned out to be a copy. So they're like, well, we really can't do anything with this because we need the original.
Right.
So they kind of hit a roadblock there.
Well, good grief, though. It's not like they had Photoshop. How much could they have enhanced it?
It was like the coloring and stuff. Yeah,
I could see them making something darker, you know, because they're taking...
I'm a photographer. I change color in a picture all the time. I don't make things appear that aren't there.
You do if you want to create fear.
Or sell papers.
Yeah.
I mean, with the technology that we have now, that'd be pretty easy, but I'm not so sure about developing film.
Yeah.
You never know. There was that one guy who made a light bulb, and he had nothing. So there's got to always be that first guy who can actually do it. So
yeah, and there's... I don't have anything good. I was trying real hard, and I couldn't think of anything fast enough.
Photo editing back then, though, involved a lot of hands-on stuff, though. It did, you know, you actually had to doctor the actual photo itself.
Right.
Because then once you print it to paper, you know, you can take that and just throw it away. Because now you have your image.
Right.
But they could smudge it and all kinds
of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Especially if they were having to do it in, like, a dark room or something.
So what do you think, Kristen? What is your theory?
I don't believe it until I see... I don't believe in extraterrestrial life until I get proof.
That's kind of where I am with it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't exist, but
I've been that way.
I hadn't seen it.
I've been that way for... since the Aurora episode.
I know. But, like, what do you feel on this case? Like, do you feel like there might be some kind of cover-up of some sort?
Oh,
do you feel
yeah.
like we're idiots and just we're shooting into the sky? Or there's still that slight possibility that there was something that you want to believe?
No. Like I already said, we are our own worst enemy. We will create anything. If we're bored, we will create the worst things for ourselves just to keep us
busy. So you think
busy.
It's some kind of cover-up and
hoax,
we were behind our own scare?
Absolutely.
Since none of you want to go with the main thing, I want to say that this is way too weird.
Sheep.
Ah. Fuck that guy on YouTube. Fuck him in his ass. We got some comments on YouTube.
Just hop on the bandwagon.
And it was on our Mel's Hole episode. The
most bogus episode we possibly could ever have.
It was a fun story. That's what it ended up being.
Right.
If you haven't listened to that, you should go listen to it. It's really good.
a neat story till it's just.
It's a neat story until it isn't.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, oh my God.
Till at the end of it, you just hear crickets chirping while we're all going.
While Caleb's
snoring. Okay, that
took a weird
turn.
Yeah.
But, dang. But yeah, no, this guy on YouTube left some comments saying that we're sheep. Bye. Anyways.
Trolls.
It's
you know, trolls.
A troll calling us sheep.
Yep.
But hey, but we got what we wanted. He listened to our podcast.
Yeah, he did listen to it.
Yes. Score. No bigger troll than the U.S. listen. Government.
For every one negative comment, there's one listen, so I don't care.
Good point. But,
yeah.
Good way of looking at that.
I'd go watch the video just to read the comment.
I feel like it's just really weird, the 40-plus year gap of we don't have any information, and then all of a sudden it was fear that caused the panic, and we just, our nerves were messed up, and then all of a sudden it's weather balloon.
Yeah, but in the 80s.
In the 80s.
They want to make it a weather balloon.
40 years later, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the only thing that really makes me go, you couldn't have, even, okay, Roswell happened 5 years after the Battle of Los Angeles, and they said weather balloon. Why couldn't you say, oh yeah, this is a common thing. That's actually what happened back 5 years ago during the Battle of Los Angeles.
Right.
Like, why couldn't you have thrown that in there, like, eased it in there then, if you were going to do it? I don't know.
You think at some point in time, if they figured it was weather balloons, they would
stop using weather balloons,
and they would, like, boycott them or something.
What is a weather balloon for? I mean, like, it can't be.
It just has a bunch of little sensors on it.
Yeah. It measures barometric pressure, right. Wind speed.
But how does it record it? Like, is there electronics on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, but not enough to create an entire debris field. In Roswell.
Ah, see. A future episode.
Yes, that was that the fifth time you said that this episode? Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I regret about Hillary. That bitch said she would come clean if she was nominated.
You know, Bill tried the same thing too, and just went.
So yeah.
So yeah.
Nobody needed Bill to come clean.
JFK said the same thing. Look what happened to him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
R.I.P. JFK.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which was another thing I came across during the research for this was JFK apparently was one of these guys that was like, we're going to come clean about it, extraterrestrials.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's what I said. There was an extraterrestrial. That's one of the many billions of JFK theories.
How often, I know that sounds stupid to me, but how often is the presidential election?
Every four years. They get two terms, that's the 8 years you're thinking of, but...
And the aliens come every 5 years?
So we're due.
They're coming to visit presidents, and they're coming to see the new president.
I wonder what the last big sighting was. Was it Mark...
last week, Turkey.
Well, Toby, we saw our weird lights out here right as they were starting to give their presidential speeches and stuff, and traveling.
Yeah, that is true. We've never touched on that on our show. We did go. I did do an interview for UFO Buster Radio and talk about our weird incident. I just felt like it was really weird to try to talk about it on our show, but I was okay telling it on someone else's show because I don't want people to think we were making it up.
Right.
And I felt like since we do a show that kind of covers these topics, it's really weird.
It's a catch-22 because we talk about this stuff, but then whenever we see something weird, we're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Now people are going to think we're making it up.
If we have a ghost experience, if we get possessed or something like that, like we can't, we're like, oh, now we're those tinfoil hat wearing psychos.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I'll go ahead and give a real brief what happened. We were coming home and in the horizon, I saw
four lights.
It was four lights and they started
making like a diamond.
No, it was
or
like
a triangle.
It looked like they were making a circle, but like only a fourth of a circle. So like
almost like a trapezoid. Yeah.
No. Like if you're looking at a clock, they were at 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Okay.
But they were like arched like that too.
Right.
And they sat like that for like 2 or 3 solid minutes, not moving, just sitting stationary. And I even told Chris, and I was like, man, those stars look really weird. And then about the time I said that, because we were driving, going towards them the entire time, all of a sudden, they take off in all different directions.
At good speeds.
Quick. Not
really.
They were coming, they were sitting completely stationary, and then all four went in different directions very quickly. And I was like, Kristen, get your phone out. And of course, it was dark and the camera.
And we pulled into our house because it's by our house, kind of. And then one came right by our house.
One flew over our house.
Oh, that's so weird.
And you could see a light on it, but it's not. And it was that close that you could see a light, but you couldn't make out like if there was a person in there or anything like that. But it wasn't. It was traveling so slow. Almost.
Yeah, once it got over our house, it was slow. But when it was far away, I don't know. It was just a weird experience. It
looked like little, like, fireflies almost, like, flying around real quick. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Have we not told you about that?
No.
Oh.
I haven't heard about that one.
We saw it, like, 3 nights in a row. And then we didn't see it no more.
Well, and it wasn't ever. That first one was the only one that we saw, like, 4. And then the next night, it was just like 2, but they would be stationary for a long time. And I understand we have an airport south of us. So I'm not throwing that, oh, we saw UFOs, we saw aliens. I'm just saying we saw weird lights that didn't travel like normal airplanes. I mean.
And someone told me that they were also doing remote-like planes, almost like drones. Like, they were testing it out at some point in time. I looked it up. I couldn't find nothing on it. But somebody said something about it.
I even reported it to a UFO, like, website, just so it was documented somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I got in touch with our friends at UFO Buster Radio and told them, because, you know, they deal more with UFO stuff than we do. So I wanted them to be able to, I don't know, maybe on their show they could connect and find someone that maybe saw something similar from a different angle.
You just wanted something said to somebody that way.
Yeah, because we know nothing really about UFOs except, you know,
what we... Too bad you didn't get it on tape. That would have been awesome.
Well, the pictures that we took, the first picture was good because it was at sundown, too, was the other thing. So we had one good picture, and I'll try to find it and post it on Twitter when this episode drops.
Okay.
But the rest of the pictures that I was trying to take, it was getting darker and darker as we were watching it. Because this happened over, I don't know, it feels like it was like a 20-minute time period.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, they stood stationary for a long time, and then all of a sudden, different directions. So, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about.
Los Angeles. Yeah.
So, we have come to no good conclusions on the Battle of Los Angeles, and
we may never know.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
No. Not really. It's kind of what we're all about.
Take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I know. I feel like this episode we just kind of womp womp. We don't have anything big discoveries on this one.
It was a lively discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I just want an alien to come down, just shake my hand, and leave. That's it. That's all I want to know.
Nobody would ever buy that.
I want to talk that.
I wouldn't tell anyone. I wouldn't.
I don't care. I want the whole ET experience.
Just for me. Just for my own peace of mind.
I want a UFO to come down and look at me and say, every UFO experience, every crop circle, every crash, weather balloon, that's all fake. We've never been to Earth. This is our first time. And then I want them to say, we don't even, there's nothing here for us. Y'all are like cows.
Y'all are good.
Y'all are strange.
Yeah, y'all are weird. And then just get back on their ship and just...
Deuces weird.
They're like, you've already destroyed this planet. We're going to find one that's not destroyed.
Yeah.
They're flipping us off the whole time. They're going back up.
They're playing their music way too loud.
Give me the finger.
It's like German electronic music, too.
Those lights are just like the little neon lights that you put on the bottom of cars.
Right. Yeah.
They're real hip and gangster.
They got rope lights. Rope lights around their ship.
Like, we don't need these lights. We just do it for decorations.
Now I feel like when they land, they look
familiar, bitch.
Through the galaxy.
They've got the lowrider, what is it?
The hydraulics.
Like, they land their ship, but then you see it go, bam, bounce on the front.
That would explain why they crash all the time. It's just a bunch of stupid teenagers who don't know how to drive their expensive-ass cars.
Yep, that's it.
Spacecraft.
Right. There we go. We came up with the solution on this right here at the end. We saved it. We know.
Stupid. Somewhere in the galaxy, there's an alien saying to his son, look, if you get into another one of these crashes again, you're not driving anymore.
It's like, avoid this planet. I'm telling you right now, nothing good comes from it.
I know that's the makeout point, but don't go there.
I wonder if Earth's like an urban legend to alien races. You know, it's kind of like, don't turn your headlights off. Turn it back on. They'll follow you.
Yeah. They'll shoot 1,000 rounds at you.
You wouldn't believe some of the shit we've seen on that planet, man.
Their porn is disgusting, too.
They actually use physical contact.
Ew. They don't just use their minds. All right. We should wrap this up.
All right.
It's getting dirty.
Yeah, it's getting weird.
All right, everyone.
No wonder they don't come down.
Everyone say adios.
Ciao.
Adios.
Bye.
Bonsoir.
Thank you for listening to us try to explain the Battle of Los Angeles. If you'd like, we'd like to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail at 304-602-7444. Tell us what you think about this episode or previous episodes. You can also tell us what topics you'd like us to cover, or you can just call and say hi. Tell us you love us. You can also contact us on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, at SecretTransPod. And you can email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. Make sure that you're subscribed to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Satchel, and we are on YouTube. Write us a review, too, if you don't mind. You can also catch reruns of our latest episode on the Podcast Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. That's every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can go to podcastradionetwork.net to get all the info, or you can just download the Crikey app, and that's K-R-Y-K-E-Y, and tune in to 102.6. There's a good lineup every day, so just go listen to some of the shows. I guess that's going to wrap it up. We hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable. It's nice having these because I can really hear whatever the microphones pick up. Yeah, right. I can hear them talking every once in a while and the dog's barking, but I just go ahead and just leave it in.
Little noise never hurt.
Yeah. So back to... Stop touching it.
I'm not even touching it.
You touched the thing. Don't touch this.
Yeah, this comes up.
Son of a bitch, stop it.
What, yeah, I didn't just touch it. I was itching.
On says three pets, you can make a baby.
Are you going to make a baby? Are you going to name it Oliver?
See why you don't hand him Look Who the Game? See, they're name, making babies.
No, I can't find it anymore.
Oh, okay.
And if he dies, sell the urn.
What?
Nothing.
You're talking about that.
Find the baby! No, said find the baby.
What?
Said find the baby.
Find the cheerleader, save the world.
I'm making him. Oh, you're making the baby. Do you know about that
reference? Heroes.
Yes, you're good. Okay.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.